In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When my son was in sixth grade, he came home from school one day with a friend, and he said, "Dad, can my friend Jonah come in our house and play?" And being a typical dad, I said, "Yes, Jonah can come in, but his whale has to stay outside." Then I looked at Jonah and I said, "I bet you get jokes like that all the time." And Jonah said, "Actually, no. Not many people know the story of Jonah and the whale anymore." I was shocked that our level of biblical literacy in this country has fallen so far that people don't know the story of Jonah and the whale anymore. Most of us listening today probably know the story of Jonah and the whale, but even those who know part of it might not know the whole story. And even those who know the whole story might have trouble pinning down the meaning, the point of what that story is. Jonah surviving in the belly of the whale is only one point. So today, we'll retell the story of Jonah to make explicit what it means for Christians today, kind of like what we did with Samuel last week. To preface our story, we need to say that Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. His calling was to speak the word of God. A prophet doesn't necessarily predict the future, what it must be. God's prophets tell the people what will happen if they follow God and what will happen if they do not. God gives us a choice, and then we make our own futures by what we do. What choices might be before us? To begin our story, the Lord ordered Jonah, an Israelite, to go to the city called Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was Israel's greatest enemy at the time. It would be like an American today going to the capital of Iran or North Korea. The job God gave Jonah was to tell the people of Nineveh to repent. God was giving them a choice: repent of their sins and live, or keep doing what they were doing and have their city be destroyed in 40 days. So what did Jonah do when he received his marching orders from the Lord? Did Jonah go right to Nineveh and immediately start preaching? No. He hopped on a ship to Tarshish instead. Tarshish was west of Israel and Nineveh was northeast. Jonah took off in the opposite direction. We can all sympathize with Jonah, can't we? Sometimes God calls us to go where we don't want to go. Sometimes God calls us to do what we don't want to do. Change diapers, cook meals, listen to the same stories over and over again. Serve on another committee, write another check. Sometimes we'd all like to escape God's grasp if we could, and forget about the commitments we've made and the relationships we're in. It's tempting to neglect marriage vows and parenting duties and our responsibilities as citizens and members of the church. Jonah eventually would have to take a good, hard look at himself and what he was called to do. Sooner or later, we all have to do that. When we do, what might we see? Meanwhile, back on the ship to Tarshish, which might have been kind of like a vacation resort, a terrible storm blew up. In their desperation to save their ship and save their lives, the crew was throwing their gear overboard and praying to all of their different gods. It was sheer panic. The sailors correctly interpreted that the storm was a message from some god that someone on the ship was being punished. By casting lots, they determined that Jonah was the guilty party. Now, don't try that at home. Leave the casting of lots to determine guilt to the professionals. Jonah confessed and told them that the storm was the Lord's way of getting back at him from running away from his responsibilities. Jonah also said that if they threw him overboard, then the storm would stop. The crew, who were men of honor and strength, tried mightily to row out of the storm, but when they could not, they reluctantly tossed Jonah into the sea. As soon as Jonah hit the water, the storm did stop, and immediately a big fish swallowed Jonah up. The Bible says big fish. As people will point out all the time, a whale is a mammal, not a fish, but I will say whale mainly out of force of habit. Anyway, the whole experience of the storm and seeing the whale swallow Jonah converted the crew to belief in the Lord on the spot. They offered God a sacrifice in all in thanksgiving, which is always a good thing to do, and they promised to serve the God of the Hebrews forever. God, as he so often does, took a bad situation, turned it around, and created faith. Might that happen even now? Continuing our story, Jonah, we are told, spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale. How is that possible? I don't know. I remember reading in Ripley's Believe It or Not once a story about someone who was swallowed by a whale and survived. All sorts of strange things occur in life, and with God, anything is possible. So we shouldn't dismiss biblical narratives like this as fiction. Centuries after Jonah, the Jews would press Jesus for a sign, a miracle, proving that he was Messiah. Jesus said the only sign that they would get was the sign of Jonah. As Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, Jesus would spend 3 days in the belly of the earth, his tomb, and then rise again. Jonah prayed while he was inside the whale. Funny how a crisis will drive us to our knees in prayer. It might be a good idea then to pray before a crisis hits. Then the whale spit Jonah out. Some translations say it vomited up Jonah, which would be more accurate. Once on dry land, the voice of the Lord came to Jonah again. That's where our first reading picks up today, giving him the same instructions as before. Go to Nineveh and tell them to repent, or I will destroy their city in 40 days. Wisely, this time Jonah did as he was told. I guess sometimes God has to hit us with a 2x4 to get our attentions. We could save ourselves a lot of time and trouble if we would just do what the Lord says first. Why don't we? From the story so far, we can see that God will go to extraordinary lengths to accomplish what he wants. So we know then that God's will is always going to be done. God is going to accomplish his purposes in the world with us or without us, in his time and in his way. Resistance is futile. The gospel message will spread. The word will be heard in every time and place. We can't always comprehend exactly how God is at work in our lives. It's not always as obvious as a storm or a whale, but we know that God is active in our world, working for our good. The Lord's word certainly had a big effect on the people of Nineveh. They did repent. They proclaimed a fast and put on ashes and sackcloth, even on their animals. The Bible also tells himself that God tells us that God himself repented in a way. He changed his mind and did not destroy the great city of Nineveh. That says at least two important things to us. For one, we can repent. We can turn back toward God and change our ways. It is possible. And for another, our future can be different from what it appears to be. God is gracious and merciful. He can bless instead of punish. So the story of Jonah looks like it's going to have a happy ending. God was happy. The Ninevites were happy. But Jonah was unhappy. Why? Jonah wanted his enemies, the Ninevites, punished. He hated them. Haters gonna hate. That is why he ran away in the first place. Jonah knew that God was loving and kind-hearted. Jonah knew that if the Ninevites repented, God would forgive them, and Jonah didn't want that. Not only was Jonah unhappy, he was angry. He said he was so angry he could die. Do you ever feel that way? To wrap up the story, God spoke to Jonah one more time. God told Jonah that his love for his creation includes all nations, all cities, all people, even all animals. God wants the salvation of everyone and everything. Couldn't Jonah understand that? We aren't told how Jonah responded. We don't know how Jonah reacted to what God said. The story then leaves us to consider, along with Jonah, can we accept God's unconditional, universal love? Can we love even our enemies? Can we love others as God loves us? Sum it up all then. We have been called to share God's word as Jonah was. Like the sailors, we have seen the mighty acts of God and we can have faith. And like the Ninevites, we have been called to repent of our sins and God has spared us his wrath. So rejoice, be glad, and may the Holy Spirit help us to always love, serve, and worship our God as his baptized people. Amen.